Hi, this is Dr. Stephanie Wigner, your podcast host. I'm a speaker, a chiropractor, a business coach, and a multiple seven-figure entrepreneur. I'm committed to helping wellness practitioners just like you build the business and the life of their dreams. Together, we'll dive into increasing profit, hiring the right team, and buying back your time so that your life can begin to prosper. Learn how I'm increasing my wealth and building a legacy without sacrificing those that I'm building it for. This is the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. Hello, you beautiful people. Thank you for joining me for another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. This is my second time trying to record this podcast because earlier I was recording and my husband just walked in and completely made me lose my train of thought, even though I was telling him that I was going to record a podcast. So all you entrepreneurs out there trying to build epic shit with spouses and children interrupting you, I see you. I understand it's not easy, but I'm recording this episode. It is the week of my birthday, and I turned 35 on Friday. I am a Scorpio. I love the month of November. You know, when you tell somebody you're a Scorpio, they automatically start to judge you, I think. But I have some definite traits of a Scorpio. Like, I am super loyal. I value loyalty. I seek out other loyal humans to do life with. And I am cutthroat in the sense of, if you hurt me, my family, my friends, or anybody that I care about, like, I'll just cut you off. I don't really want to be associated with you. So I definitely have those two characteristics of a Scorpio, but I don't think I'm as bad as they say Scorpios are and the other characteristics that they possess. But today's episode, I want to share with you guys 10 life lessons I've learned from the last decade of my life. And we were just in Marco Island in Naples this past weekend. We have a home in Naples and we were talking about it because it was our sixth wedding anniversary. And we were talking about how crazy it was. We purchased this place in Naples like 3 months before we found out we were expecting our son Jethro. And those 3 months were like amazing. We were flying down to Naples like once or twice a month, just really enjoying the Florida weather and the Florida palm trees and, you know, just being able to go to the beach and things like that. And then all of a sudden I got pregnant and I was deathly ill, so sick, throwing up every day. And needless to say, we weren't flying down to Naples after that. And then you have a baby and a toddler, and we spent a good amount of my maternity leave in Naples. But then just life gets busy and we're not flying down there as frequently. And we just forget how much we love it. And so when we were down there this past week and we're like, okay, we have to really try to get down here more the next few months. And then this Friday, Kyle and I, we're going to have like a family day on my actual birthday. And then we're going to go to Miami for a couple of days, just the two of us. We're going to meet up with a couple of friends and really just celebrate my birthday. And that's one of the reasons I put my birthday and our anniversary together, is because we typically travel during that time. It just so worked out. We like wanted our baby with us. And then we were like, okay, we could probably use like a parents' night out for a day or two. So let's go to Miami and have fun. But after recently going to Naples, we both are like, oh my God, we don't want to leave Jethro. So I'm sure if you're a parent, you can relate to that. We just really have so much fun together, the three of us. And I really love this season that we're in. He's at a super, super fun age that like you just miss him the minute he's gone. And, but we'll be fine. We'll be fine. We don't get a lot of date nights. Honestly, if we get time alone, it's usually like a lunch and we're usually kind of working over that lunch together. We don't have like routine weekly date nights, but one thing we are working on is even if it's once a month, just having like 24 hours where it's just the two of us. And that's something that we're really going to work on focusing on and making time for, because I think it's super important for our marriage. Okay. So for those note takers, I will post these 10 lessons inside of the show notes so that you can come back to them. If you like one of them and it resonates with you, please shout it out on social. I just opened my Instagram today and I had one person telling me about how the Manifesting and Thank You Universe podcast has completely changed their life in a matter of 2 weeks. And yesterday I was on a call and a woman told me that after listening to that episode, within 24 hours, she found a $100 bill in the parking lot of like a grocery store. And she was like, I tried to find its owner, but then I couldn't. And I was like, girl, that is the universe giving you money. Don't say no. Be appreciative. Tell it, thank you. Yes, I will accept money this way. And she was like, I know. I just couldn't believe it. It was literally 24 hours after I listened to your episode. And I just love that. And so if you haven't listened to that episode, go back. It's episode 19. It is amazing if you are open to receiving money in unexpected ways, how money starts to show up for you. Okay. 10 life lessons. Are you guys ready? Number one, is time is passing by at a rapid pace and it's up to you to slow it down. This has been fascinating to me, the concept of time. I'm reading a book right now called Happy Pocket Full of Money, I think is what it's called. And one of the chapters in there is about time and how we really have more control over time than we think we do and how time is kind of relative. It's almost made up. Like when Kyle and I talk about money, we say money's made up all the time, right? You have no idea how money is transferred from credit card to credit card or when you pay your bills or online. Like nobody knows the inner workings of that really, but it just happens, right? And so we accept it as truth and we integrate with it. The same thing happens with time. We all just accept that we have 24 hours within a day. And now I'm getting like super high level and thinking and probably making your brain hurt. That's okay. This book is making my brain hurt a little bit too. It talks a lot about physics. But once I integrate that more and once I understand it a little bit better, I'll come on here and share it with you guys. But this idea of time really just started affecting me. Once I became a mom, I was like, holy shit, it's true what they say. Time flies by so fast and I don't want to miss a minute. And I want to make sure that I'm being super intentional with my time. And for some of us, you know, even if we're spending 5, 10, 15, 30 minute appointments with our patients, whatever it is, a lot of times we have to make sure that we're doing a good job of being super present and intentional during that time so that they feel like they're the only ones that we're focusing on. Same thing if you're like, you know, I have 2 hours in the morning with my son before he goes off to school. And I want to make sure I'm super present for those 2 hours and get that part of my day started off right with spending some one-on-one time with him and enjoying that aspect. And so for me, it's just been about like, how can I make the best use of my time? And also, how can I be more present and intentional with it? I think there's something about turning 35 this week too, where I'm like, holy shit, I really have like 50 years left and hopefully more, especially living the chiropractic lifestyle, right? Hopefully more, but let's just say an average, I live to be 85. Like that's not that long. That's not even two lifetimes of what I've already lived. And that just started like really kind of freaking me out. And I said to Kyle the other day, I'm like, oh my God, babe, I'm getting so old. And I'm like, I don't mind getting old. I know some women hate it. I absolutely love it. I think life gets so much better the older I get. But it just was like making me sad. I'm like, oh my God, what if I only have 50 years left with you? What if I only have 50 years left with Jethro? What am I going to do? And he's like, babe, that's just the beginning. And I'm like, sometimes you are so wise, you blow my freaking mind. And I was like, I know, but what if you and I aren't together in the next lifetime? And he was like, babe, we're twin flames. We will be. And I was like, okay, you're right about that because we definitely will choose each other in another lifetime. But what about our son? He's like, babe, he's so high maintenance. He's definitely going to choose us to be his parents because we wait on him hand and foot. And I was like, okay, you're right. You have a good point. So that's typical Kyle for you to bring humor into a situation when I'm stressed out or when I'm like worrying about something that I shouldn't even spend energy or time worrying about. But it really hit me. And I was like, damn, if I only have 50 years left, you bet your ass I'm going to make them count. I want to make sure that I'm actually doing things I really want to do, not doing things out of obligation. I actually want to make sure I'm surrounded by people I love and actually enjoy time, spending time with them rather than people who are draining me. And it's like, all right, it's up to me to make sure that the time that I am spending counts and that I'm able to slow down and be fully present. Number two, one of the most important decisions you'll make in your life is who you choose as your life partner. And I cannot stress this enough. Kyle and I are at the age where we're starting to see friends get divorced or go through really hard times and they're not sure if they're going to make it. And it's just like, man, you have to make sure whoever you dedicate your life to is on board with your goals, your mission, your values. You have to make sure you guys have talked about how you're going to raise a family, what your vision for your life is, you know, because that's super important. It's not going to be easy, right? I think with our anniversary just being last week, we were reflecting on all of the trials and tribulations we've been through, how hard it's been, how many times we've, you know, just been like so stressed and the other person has lifted us up and how supportive we are of each other. And it like literally brings tears to my eyes because Kyle is one of the most supportive husbands that I've ever seen. And I say it all the time. I'm like, babe, you got to make a course that just teaches husbands how to be real men and also teaches them to support their wives like fully 100%. And, you know, he just shows up for his family in such a strong way. And I try to do the same. I try to be the best version of myself as a mother and as a wife. And it's just really important that you find somebody that wants to continue to grow and evolve with you. And that's going to be there for the good times, sure, but more importantly, the really, really hard times. And that they're just as dedicated to the life mission and the vision that you have, because they can either speed you up or they can slow you down. And people want to know how Kyle and I have accomplished so much in a short amount of time. And it's truly because we have each other and we are on one path with one goal and one vision in mind. Okay, number three, making money is easy. Knowing what to do with it is hard. I will die on this hill, y'all. Like, it really is. And if you're a startup or you're a new business owner, you're like, yeah, sure, Steph, sure. Making money is easy for you. It's easy for all of us if you believe it to be so. And this is an example I like to use with my clients. If you are trapped in a house and say you're not a parent, so say it's either your mother or a dog, and you're in one room and in another room, it was your child, your mother, or your dog. And that room was going to catch on fire unless you were able to figure out how to make $10,000 in the next 24 hours, would you be able to do it? And the answer is, of course you would. Of course you would. You would become resourceful. You would text every single person you know. You would reach out to other people. You'd send emails. You'd post on socials. You would call banks. You would, whatever you needed to do to raise $10,000, whether it was selling something, whether it was like tapping into your resources for a way to raise capital, you would figure it out if that building was going to catch on fire. So I don't really want to hear that making money is hard, because it can be easy. If you say making $10,000 is hard, I can't figure it out. Of course, it's going to be hard. If you say making $10,000 is actually easy, if I come from a solution-driven perspective and I know that I could figure it out, it's easy. However, as somebody who is like first self-made millionaire in my family, as somebody who is really good at making money, it was really hard for Kyle and I to figure out what to do with that money once we made it. And if you take two poor kids and you give them some money, they are going to spend it. And the first year that we probably started making above decent money, we took trips, we bought some stuff. We probably weren't as smart as with it as we could have been, but we were like, oh my God, this is great. We're not eating ramen noodles. We're not working for 1-800-GOT-JUNK. Let's travel. Let's experience. Let's go to nice dinners. And I wouldn't take that back for anything. I'm sure if my financial advisor listened to this, he'd be like, oh my God, that was such a bad decision. I don't really care, because you know what it did? It allowed us to have fun, and it also was able to show us a different way of living to where it allowed us to tap into more abundance. So I am not somebody who's ever like, hey, you have to live on a super strict budget. I think there is being smart with your money. Definitely not saying to light it all on fire, to be recklessly spending it. But I think there is a good way to spend money, and that's to further invest in yourself, but also to find ways for your money to get to work for you. And that is the hardest part. Making money is step one. That's easy. Knowing what to do with it is much harder. And you have to have people who are around you that can advise you. We have a whole board of advisors that we run a lot of our decisions by. We also have mentors and things like that, which is my point number four. Surround yourself with people who are doing what you want to be doing. And for us, that's always been putting ourselves in rooms and situations where the people who are in that room are doing better than us. They're smarter than us. They're wealthier than us. And we want to learn from them and learn what the secrets are, right? And learn how we can apply them to our lives so that we're getting closer to our vision for us and our family. Number five, you'll never regret the time you spend with your family. And that's whether that's your children or whether that's your extended family. It doesn't matter. You'll never regret that time. And when I was making this list, it reminded me of a specific situation. I was a senior at the University of Kansas, so Rock Chalk, and my grandfather became super ill. And for those of you that don't know, my parents divorced when I was really young. My grandfather helped my mom raise us. And so he was like our primary caretaker while my mom was working like 12-hour shifts to make ends meet. And so she'd drop us off at grandpa's house at like 5 a.m. He'd get us ready. He'd put us on the bus after school. We'd get dropped off at grandpa's house till like about 6:30. And even on the weekends, we'd be like, mom, we want to stay at grandpa's. And she's like, are you kidding me? Like, you just were with him all week. I want to see you guys. But we just loved him, adored him, like one of my favorite humans. And he got really sick my senior year of college, and I withdrew from college. And I was like, I'm going to go home and take care of him. He needed 24-hour assistance. They diagnosed him with liver failure. This is also why I became a chiropractor, because he was 86 years old, diagnosed with liver failure, a raging alcoholic for sure. His primary form of nutrients was Coors Original. There's no getting around that. But he was diagnosed with liver failure. They gave him 2 weeks to live. He was in a medically induced coma in the hospital. We took him off everything. He came out of the coma. And when we got him back home, we got a dietitian. We took him to PT and chiro, and just really trying to heal his body from the inside out, truly. And he completely recovered. And he lived to be 93 years old, 92. Oh my gosh, my mom's going to kill me if she listens to this. Anyways, he lived a long time after that. And that is when I removed myself from college, went home, helped my mom take care of him. So my mom was working night shifts, or she was working day shifts. And I would waitress and then she at night, and she would take over the night shift. And so we really kind of tag teamed his care. And I'll never forget one of the conversations he had with me is like, I absolutely love that I've gotten to have this time with you. And I'm just so grateful you're here. And I'll never regret that time that I got with him. And I'm getting a little choked up. I also won't regret every time when I was at school and I'd go home for the holidays. And I remember when my sister had my nephew, like I was an associate at that time. And I was like, cool, my sister's in labor, I'm leaving. Like I didn't really ask for permission. And they were like, okay. And I just hopped on a flight so that I could be there for the birth of my nephew. And I don't regret any of these memories. And when I look back at the last 10 years, I'm like, man, I really do mean what I say. And I also live my life that way. And for me, when I say family's number one priority, I mean it. So I think that you should spend more time with your family and that it is an important thing that you should focus on. Number six, say what the fuck you mean and don't sugarcoat it. This is going to be the title of my first book, maybe, if I can find somebody that'll let me make that my title. But I truly live my life this way. I don't really sugarcoat things. Like even in middle school, friends would come to me and be like, Steph, what do you think? And I would say it and they'd be like, oh. And I'm like, sorry, you asked my opinion. Like I'm going to tell you. Kyle too. He's like, babe, I don't ever have to doubt whether or not you like my haircut because you'll just tell me. Those are tiny instances, but I think living authentically and true to who you are, if you're going to have really deep and meaningful relationships in your life with people you care about, you have to really speak your truth and make sure that you have clear standards for your life and that you say what you mean and that you stick to that. Number seven, if you're not evolving, you're dying. And this is what I base my success on. And so in the past, especially even 3-4 years ago, I would base my success on a number. Did I hit my revenue goal for the year? Did we have this much profit? What's my profit margin? How many people did we serve or see? And that's what I would base my success on. In today's day and age, like we've hit the $1 million, we've hit the $2 million targets. And it's like, cool. What we're really focused on now, are we evolving? Are our businesses getting better? Are we serving more people? Are we becoming better versions of ourselves? And are we spending our time and living our lives authentically to who we are? Are we learning from our past mistakes and becoming better versions based off of those lessons? And if the answer is yes, then I would say that you are successful. And for me, as long as I can continue to work on myself, whether that's my physical aspect, whether that's my mental aspect, whether that's working on my businesses, whether that's becoming a better mom, a better wife, as long as I continue to improve, then I'm happy. I'm making progress. But when you are not evolving and you're staying in the same place over and over again, you really are not living. And so if you've been in that place, I encourage you to get out of that. We're actually doing this perfect time to talk about it. We're doing a challenge in January that's going to be called a health and wealth challenge. And so it's for any business owner, doesn't matter what your industry is. We are going to have a 30-day challenge where once a day, I'm going to be giving you something to work on in your business. I'm going to be giving you something to do for your body and something to do for your mind. And even sprinkling in some of that manifesting magic in there too. So I like to say it's like business boot camp meets 75 hard meets manifesting magic. And if you're into those three things and you want to kick off the year with a bang, then stay tuned because we'll have details for that soon. But the point is we all are evolving. And if we're not, we need to be. And we need to be surrounding ourselves with others who are going after everything they desire. Like it's life or death because it truly is. Number eight. You can achieve every single thing you want as long as you don't give up. I believe that to be true. Looking back at the last 10 years, I'm like, wow, that took way longer. There's some things in my life where I'm like, holy shit, that took a long time. I thought that was going to be like 30 days and done. But really, it took 6 months. It took 12 months. But you know what? I don't give up. I am persistent AF. And that is one of the reasons that we have been able to get to where we are because we really don't give up. There's a difference between like chasing something that's not meant for you or like staying in a relationship that's not meant for you and not wanting to give up. That's not what I'm saying. You have to know what your boundaries and your limits are and be willing to walk away from things that are not serving you. But if there is a goal or something that I have that I truly, truly want, and it's not like goals change over time for sure. We're going to talk about that, especially when we talk more about vision planning. Goals change and that's okay. That's part of evolving. But if I had it set that I wanted to become the number one pediatric prenatal practice at the Jersey Shore, that's not a goal that I'm willing to give up on, right? And so I will constantly work towards that. I don't care if it takes 2 years or if it takes 10 years. So if you can just tap into some of that persistence, you're still going to achieve everything that you want. Number 9. Be selective of who gets access to you, your energy, and your circle. This one was a hard lesson for me to learn. I'm still learning it. There's instances that I've put myself in, especially in business circles where I'll invite people in and like speak to my audience or just come in and I don't like the way that it ends up going. And so I have to remember like, yes, I have to treat my energy, my circle, my people, like it is a precious asset because it is. And I have to be selective of who I allow to tap into that, right? And I am a giver by nature. I want to give away so much, but in turn, I have to make sure that I don't associate with takers, right? And so just be selective. Know what you value and make sure that you are allowing people around you that are going to value the same things as you. And then number 10, the last one, one that I love the most, the joy is in the journey. And I know this to be absolutely true. There are so many times in life when I've went through something hard and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, I was thinking about this morning in the shower. I'm like, I remember, and I'm thankful for the internet. I'm thankful for Instagram. I know Instagram gets a bad rap sometimes, but like, I'm thankful when I was pregnant, I was reading tons of posts that were like, make sure you enjoy every moment because it goes by so fast. I don't get triggered by that. I don't get angry. I'm like, yes, thank you for the reminder. And my son was not a good sleeper and nursed around the clock pretty much. And there would be moments when he was 6 months old at 3 a.m. where he just want to be up for like 30, 45 minutes. And I'd be like, oh my gosh, but I would remember this is the joy, getting this connection with him, getting this one-on-one time, that extra snuggles, the extra cuddles. Yes, it sucks the next morning when I'm super sleep deprived, but this is the moment that I'm going to miss once it's gone. And already now I do miss it, right? I miss how little and cute in those times that we got together at 3 a.m. And I miss school. I miss chiropractic school. We had the best time with the group of friends that we had. And that was super joyful. It was a journey building me and growing me to get me to where I am today. But the joy was in that journey. And I feel the same thing about Kyle and I as we've evolved over the last 10 years. Like we have had so much fun in the last 10 years that I know in another 10 to 20 years, I'm going to look back and be like, man, those were the good days. And I believe that. And I feel that. And I think it's only going to get better with time. I mentioned earlier, I don't mind getting older. I think that our 20s are meant for us to figure out who we are. And then our 30s are all about owning it and tapping into it and just living your best life. And then our 40s are really where everything kind of comes together. Granted, I haven't gotten there yet. So I'll let you know whether that's true or not when the time comes. But I have just absolutely loved 30s. I think that I'm going to look back and my 30s are going to be one of the best decades of my life. So I'm totally cool with getting older, but I know that I am living some of my best days right now. And I don't want to take that for granted. And I think so often, at least I have been guilty of this, is I get so caught up in chasing the next best thing, or, you know, I am a super driven, goal-oriented person. And I sometimes have to be reminded to just enjoy this moment, to be present, to make sure that I'm living each day how I want to. And this morning, particularly, I had my perfect morning. My clients know whether they're in Wealthy Practitioner Accelerator or business class or a one-to-one client, I have a perfect day template that I work through that I update every so often as my goals and aspirations and who I'm becoming changes. But my perfect morning starts with a cup of coffee, either a book or a training, like from one of my coaches that I can go in and listen to and really just start to prime my mind for the day. And having that hour of peace before my son wakes up, and then I could be mom and we do breakfast and we do all of that. And then getting a workout and a cold plunge in before I have to start my day, that completely sets me up for success for the rest of the day. And so this morning I was able to have my perfect morning, and it's just crazy how simple it is, right? It's nothing extravagant. Like it's literally a book, coffee, workout, cold plunge, family time, and then my day starts. And if I could just spend more time and be more intentional with creating my perfect day or my perfect morning, like anything that gets thrown at me today, I'll be like, yeah, cool. Fine. I can handle it because I've already set my nervous system tone for the day. Little side note there, but I think the joy is in the journey. And I think the more we're able to tap into that. And that's why I mentioned that. It's like, I had a very joyful morning, right? I get to work on my businesses this afternoon. I get to get on here and record a podcast with you guys. And I just want to encourage you to have more joy. I hope you learned at least something from these 10 lessons. I hope you got a little something out of it. And if any of them resonated with you guys, share it on social, tag me, and let me know. I'm always open to having more guests on my podcast too. We had a few good guest episodes that got a lot of good feedback recently. And so I'm looking for more guest speakers that are going to align with you guys, the listeners. So I'm open to hearing your ideas for that too. I hope you guys have an amazing week. I'll see you next time. Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Wealthy Practitioner Podcast. If you liked what I shared with you today, please rate the show and share it with your friends on social media. To connect with other practitioners just like you, join our exclusive Facebook group, The Wealthy Wellness Practitioner, where we continue the conversation about building profitable businesses. See you next week.